Welcome to another episode of the Harvest Growth Podcast, focused on helping consumer product companies, inventors, and entrepreneurs harvest the growth potential of their product businesses by teaching cutting-edge marketing strategies and interviewing successful marketers, as well as product marketing experts that share their stories to inspire you to achieve hypergrowth for your own business. I'm your host, John LeClaire, founder and CEO of Harvest Growth, and I believe that if you want to make your product the next household name, you just need to follow the right plan, and that even the best products struggle to succeed when they step away from proven strategies that work. And I believe that you can grow profitably, which means you don't need to be a Fortune 500 company or have access to venture capital in order to grow your business. If you'd like to learn more about what we call the perfect launch process for marketing products, check out harvestgrowth.com. And if you still have questions on how you can implement this process for your business, you'll see a link on our homepage to set up a free consultation with one of our product launch specialists. Welcome back to the Harvest Growth Podcast. I'm so excited today to be interviewing a good friend of mine, Steve Dean, who is the founder, inventor of Espro, Environmental Sports Products. I'm going to let him talk a little bit more about the product itself, but he developed an amazing product that has had great success over the years in retail and in e-commerce and other platforms as well, and recently sold his company. So we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about that. I won't give away the whole story, but it's been a great success for him after many years of hard work to be able to sell that on and now have the chance to move to his next opportunity. So this would be a great podcast to listen to if that's kind of your end goal. If you want to build up a company and eventually sell it off, Steve can talk about that process and also about getting a product into Walmart that he's been successfully doing for many years. And it hasn't been all easy, as it never is, as you launch and market a product. But he's been able to work through these difficult times as well as great times and end up in a good place where he's able to sell off his company and now move on to the next stage of his business life. So Steve, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, John. Glad to be here.
So, Steve, I'd love for you, I gave just a quick introduction to your story, but can you help us understand, why don't we talk first about what the Espro product is for those of the audience that aren't familiar with it, and then we'll dive into the background a little bit more.
Okay. It's actually Espro Sports Cleaner. It is a stain remover with an odor control in it that is primarily developed and geared towards the sports industry for athletic uses and applications is so much broader than that.
And just to help the audience kind of picture this, if you see this in the Walmart aisles, for example, it's in the laundry cleaning aisle as a stain remover. It's a liquid spray product. So it's a competitor, as many of you know, my background with OxyClean, it's a competitor in many ways to that, but more specific. And that's one of the reasons Steve has been so successful is he's created a specific product with a specific use and it works phenomenally well. Steve, you've had some great success, not just in retail, but also with professional and college sports teams in taking on and using this product. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. You don't mind, let me kind of tell you how it all started. I think it's kind of interesting. It's really kind of the combination of two backgrounds or careers, if you will. One, I was a sales manager for a company that made cleaners and protectants for the automotive and marine industry. That's kind of where I was introduced to this beginning part of the formula. And then, as you know, I have a background in athletics. I played collegiately football at the highest level, a D1 school. And so I continued coaching beyond that after I had children to coach them in their youth and high school football. So I kind of combined the two backgrounds to seeing this need for an athletic uniform cleaner that I knew was really needed. And the market really did not have anything that was adequately addressing this.
Great. So you kind of combined your own personal passion for athletics and as well as, I guess, understanding of cleaning chemicals and how to sell them in and build a company beyond or around that. So can you talk, as we go back to the founding of this company, so you kind of alluded to how it got to that point. How did you eventually come to bring all this together and found the company?
Okay. Well, like I said, I was a sales manager of a company that made cleaners and protectants for the automotive and marine industry. And while I was doing that, we actually had the genesis of this formula as part of our offering, but it was not being marketed properly. And I thought we were missing a lot of opportunities. And like I said, as on the side, I was doing some youth and high school football coaching. I knew there was a tremendous need for a stain remover that could address the stains and smells associated with dirty athletic uniforms. So I would bring this product home, and my wife would use it on my son's athletic uniforms. And she would just tell me all the time, this stuff is fantastic. You guys are really missing an opportunity. You're marketing it wrong. You should be, you know, going after the sports industry. And so that was kind of what motivated me. So anyways, I approached the owner of that business. I said, hey, I got an idea. And I said, I think we should rename this sports cleaner and go after this market. And he was very kind and generous to give me the go ahead and to take and run with it and go out on my own. And he's was very supportive and actually became my partner in the new business. So that's how we started it. And we took off and running. And the initial plan was to go after, like I say, the sports market, which would have been teams and, you know, high schools, colleges, pro teams, and then even sporting goods stores. And so with my background in athletics, having played football at the University of Alabama in the 70s, I immediately drove down to Tuscaloosa to meet with the equipment manager there, and he gave me a little test program in with their Nike football game pants, and we tested it, and it did great, and he loved it. And so that started the college deal, and so we went after a lot of colleges and high schools, and that's how we developed that. And then, of course, we started selling it into sporting goods stores.
And then eventually you made it into Walmart. Can you talk about that transition? So it sounds like you started selling to college at the highest level and then moved to sporting goods stores and grew that distribution and then eventually made the leap to add on Walmart as a distribution partner as well. How did that happen?
Well, as you can imagine, it became real apparent right from the beginning that the team business, the college and pros and even the sporting good stores just was not going to be a significant portion of the business, and it would not provide enough revenue. So we needed market opportunity, and obviously the big box retailers and mass merchants, we knew that sooner or later we're going to have to make that move and try to get it into there. And obviously Walmart was one. And then, you know, you wanted to put it in places where moms go to shop for their cleaners that they would use for laundry around the house. So anyways, I was challenged by some friends early on. We didn't do it right off the bat, but to go present it to Walmart. And quite honestly, I thought it was way too early and there was no way that I was going to be able to get an appointment with a Walmart buyer with such a, you know, a single SKU company, small company, not a big track record, even though our story was great and the product was great. I was reluctant to do that, but again, I was encouraged by some friends to do that. So just kind of out of drove up to Bentonville, Arkansas, met with a buyer. And by the way, the buyer in that particular department, Department 13, is kind of a laundry additives department, was an experienced senior buyer, really, really fair-minded and nice person. And that just made, you know, the introduction so much easier and comfortable for me to present the product.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up in that way. So many times we hear these stories of buyers and, you know, there's a lot of fear, especially Walmart. You know, there are some tough stories, and, you know, you had your challenges like anybody else over the years. And we'll talk about those, but it's, you know, these are still people, right? They want to be successful in their careers. And to do that, part of their job is to bring in innovative products that are going to succeed. And so they're on your side in the beginning. You've got to still prove your case, but many of them, I hear similar things. They're pleasant to work with. They want to make you successful because it helps make them successful as well. And the other thing too is there's so many stories like yourself of inventors and entrepreneurs that start off and they just reach out and they get a hold of a buyer, get a meeting done. And, you know, brokers and distributors can be very helpful. They can speed up that process. But sometimes when you're just starting out, you know, a quick phone call or LinkedIn connection is now a more common way to do it. But getting connected to these buyers and just starting that process, you know, even at the largest retailer in the world is still a personable process, or can be. So can you tell us about how that first meeting go, and how did you eventually get a purchase order coming out of that?
Okay. Well, and again, you kind of said the key word earlier. You said something about innovative product, and that's for sure what we had. We knew we had something very special, and it was a proprietary product that was that need was not being met in the marketplace. And so we had a good story. We had a proprietary formula, a fantastic product, and you know, a Walmart buyer, even though you may not be a name they recognize, they are open to innovative products. If there's something that's not missing on their shelf, they will be open and listen. And I was fortunate, like I said, to get a meeting with a really open-minded and fair-minded buyer. And so, again, just called up, made an appointment, met with him, and basically sold him on the fact that he didn't have anything like this on the shelf, and it was a proprietary product. Sorry, I'm having a hard time saying that word. That was not on the marketplace, and that it would certainly fit a need and have a place on their shelf. And he was certainly open to that. Now, of course, you hear horror stories about Walmart, like a lot of people do. But my experience with Walmart has been nothing but just exceptional, and been very open, very fair, very helpful, and always ready and willing to help us to grow the brand and know how to present it. And I think a lot of that has to do, I just had an incredible buyer that I was fortunate enough to have, you know, in our department. So it was needed. It was open. And even though we're going to be sitting on the shelf next to some national brand products, he felt like there was a need. And so we were able to get a purchase order and an opening order into approximately 500 stores, which is really pretty neat. Typically, your opening test program would be much smaller than that, but we were very grateful to get that.
That is a big move. That obviously shows they had a lot of trust in you and trust in the product to do a test order that big. And then from there, so once you're in Walmart, then life is easy, right? Nothing's, no more difficulties or trials after that. Yeah, well, of course. Can you talk a little bit about, so, you know, this is a great thing to happen for your business. It's great to get in, and it's, you know, for many inventors and entrepreneurs that are listening to this, it's, you know, this is at least a big part of the dream, is to get into a big retailer like Walmart.
Yes.
Can be a starting point, a lot of success, but it doesn't mean the game's over. And there are trials that come. Can you talk a little bit about maybe some of the trials in terms of keeping the product on shelf, or any issues you ran into over in Walmart over the years that might be helpful to the audience?
Yes. You know, getting on the shelf is obviously a huge part of the battle, but like you said, that's just the beginning, because you've got to do your part to get people to be aware of your product and to come to that aisle and grab your product off the shelf. And you're going to get just some curious people that are looking for a product that'll do what our product does, but you really have to do your part in building the brand. And so I guess one of the biggest challenges all along from the get-go, as you can imagine, we're pretty much undercapitalized. I was warned by a guru in this industry that it would probably take several million dollars to adequately address the need to, you know, build a brand and advertise and a marketing program to let, you know, the world know about the product. And I just didn't believe him. I didn't think that was true. And actually come to find out, he knew what he was talking about. So it takes a lot of resources and a lot of money and a lot of patience to be able to pour in and you know, properly market a product. And so that's been the challenge. And even though, like I say, we got on the shelf, we had to do a lot of things, you know, to do our part in driving people to the store and letting them know about the product so they would grab it off the shelf. Now, having limited resources, we had to be very creative doing this, and I want to encourage other entrepreneurs and business people that don't let the lack of resources, you know, be a negative for you, because there are some creative and ways to do to build a brand and create awareness and things like that without having a deep marketing budget. So we had to be real creative. We would do some coupons from time to time. We developed a really aggressive, I think, creative social media program to, you know, alert people through Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all those things. It really is helpful to be able to have that working in your favor in this day and time. So we just pounded away and slowly built a following. We did a lot of other things that I'm glad we did, and kind of was advised to do some of these things by people. But we just did a lot of grassroots marketing. I literally would go out to the hundreds and hundreds of ballparks with little sample sizes of our bottle and hand it out, walk around the stands and go up into the stands and hand these little sample bottles to moms sitting there watching their kids play baseball and softball. And it was kind of weird sometimes, you know, to get some looks that, what in the world are you doing? And I just said, trust me, it's free. Try it. If you like it, go buy the big bottle at Walmart. And so we just did all kinds of things like that. And sometimes just rolling up the sleeves and doing a lot of hard work and grassroots marketing is the way to go when you don't have a deep budget.
Thank you for sharing that. One of the things I would add that I think could put some texture behind this that I have found to help make brands that don't have millions of dollars behind them become successful is, what I love about your story is that you started off by creating a product that works extremely well as your first step. So the chemistry behind this, and this is a phenomenal product for stain removal, especially in sports products and odor removal, and it works really well. So that gives you the opportunity to now do sampling programs like this. Like if you had something that was just the same as everything else, sampling's never going to work, right? But what happens is people take this home, they try it, it works, they're amazed by the results, they buy it, they tell their friends. So that helps propel those grassroots efforts. And so spending the time up front to really nail down the product and making the quality as good as it can be and really standing out from the crowd, you know, making something very unique and different and meeting the demand of consumers helps to when, especially when you have lower budgets than these big, you know, multi-billion dollar conglomerates that you're competing against. When you've got a great product that is unique and its benefits, then that helps it to stand out from the crowd for sure.
Absolutely. And one of the things I didn't really go into detail early on about the formula. When we started with that base formula, I knew there was some things that we probably could do to enhance it and make it even more innovative and special that would be very, very important along the way. And so I went to a chemist friend of mine and said, okay, here's a base formula. This is really, really good, but I want to make it great. I want to make it different and innovative. And for the athletic uniforms, I knew it was important. We probably needed to add what's called an optic brightener into the formula. It was not in the original formula. And then I said, you know, let's make this complete. What's another issue with sports uniforms other than stains? And it's odor. Believe me, as a high school football coach, I stood in a huddle and practiced many, many years. And just the odor issue is really incredible. So we talked about that, and we addressed that by adding an odor control agent. The short word for it is a quat. It was a long chemical name with it. I won't bore you with that, but we put in that, and so we called that Odor Guard. And so then that added just another, you know, innovative quality to the formula that was really important. And quite frankly, that that really has added a lot. So, you know, when the mom's looking to address, you know, stains, and she can get an extra benefit by addressing odor, that made us really, really special. And we just didn't think there was anything else out there on the marketplace that would address that need.
Yeah, and I think I've seen a couple of the bigger brands copy you, or you know, in recent years they've started to bring out sports cleaning products, not stain removers, but more, I've seen a few laundry detergents that are specific to sports clothing, and they're targeting this odor control, and I think they've learned that from you, and that's so often the case where a true innovator like yourself, you understand the market because you've been in it, right? You're a player for years, you were a coach for years, and you, like you said, I love that, by the way, you described that you're in the huddle smelling the odors that come out in the huddle. You understand that, where, you know, brand managers have been, having been in those shoes for myself, but for many years, you know, you're not maybe as in the weeds or in the details or really in the environment of the consumer as much. So it takes a person like yourself to bring out these innovations. And I like how, how others have followed your suit. These big brands have, I think nobody's competed that I've seen with a direct competitor to yours, but these odor control products have come out after yours, after following your example and learning from what you've done and how you've really changed the market. That's exciting to see.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm not so sure anybody actually copied us out there. I don't think we were big enough to get anybody's attention, but that's possible. And if so, well, we're thrilled that we created that kind of attention, because it is it's a huge need. And I'm just glad that we came up with it. It's certainly helped us in our presentations with buyers. And I will say this, I was kind of shocked as I developed the product and we were doing our market research. And by the way, I would encourage anybody, if you got a great idea, no matter how great it is, take your time, be patient, be passionate about it, but do your homework, seek lots of counsel and advice, just do really, really go deep into your business plan and to your research. And I knew there was a need for this product. And one of the things I was surprised about, and I was going to say a minute ago, was that this wasn't really being addressed in the marketplace. And even though you might have seen a laundry detergent every now and then refer to cleaning uniforms on one of their ads, there's not an active label on a bottle out there in the marketplace that made that the primary advertising pitch, if you will, that it was specifically formulated for athletic uniforms. And that's why we kind of went with the sports cleaner, and then back on our label, there's a picture of a youth baseball player sliding. So we knew we wanted to grab that attention, say this is specifically developed for this niche, and we think this is what you need, as opposed to the regular standard products that are out there.
Yeah, you truly fill the gap. You identified a need in the marketplace where other products could remove stains, other products maybe could remove odors, but none were targeted specifically at sports stains and the odors that come from it. And so it truly filled that need gap, and it's a big need with a big audience across the country. I would say, having worked inside a couple of big companies, both at Kraft Foods and OxiClean, and led new product development at both companies, it's interesting to see how we've came up with ideas. It was oftentimes by looking at smaller companies and seeing what they had done and learning from them, right? Not always copying, but learning some aspects that seem to be making waves in the marketplace. And you really do stand out. It's, we used to call it store checks, right? So you're running around checking stores and looking for new up and coming brands or products and looking for ideas like what's resonating, what's working out there in the marketplace. So eventually you got the attention of a company that ended up acquiring Espro Sports Cleaner. So it's a company called Gelmar, who are the makers of CLR, calcium lime and rust remover, which has been a product that's been around for years. Can you tell us about how that happened? So just talk about the sale of the company and how do they find you? And I know some of the details obviously are confidential, so we can't go into a lot of details, but what can you share about the story of how they found you and how this acquisition ended up happening?
Okay. Well, part of our exit strategy really from day one was to build the company up and eventually seek out, an acquisition partner to buy us out. That was kind of the dream and the plan for myself and my investors. And, as I'm getting older, I knew that it was probably time to start doing that, and it became really, really apparent in the last two or three years, as you know, John, that it just without a really deep marketing budget, still weren't going to be able to build the brand and attract the millions of people that really needs to happen when you're in this aggressive retail space. And so really started seeking an acquisition partner, a partner, if you will, two or three years ago. And mostly it was done by just word of mouth, or even thinking I would spot something or someone who would be a potential partner. And so I just did a lot of individual reaching out. There were three or four times that it looked like someone in this space and related space was somewhat interested, and we began the process. Really two or three times that I thought was probably going to materialize into an offer. And I was told by somebody, you may have to go through this many, many times. It's long and it's not easy. And so just be patient. You may think you've found a buyer, but you know, sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. And boy, were they right. The two or three that I thought were moving right along into something that would turn into an acquisition offer never materialized. And so I actually got kind of discouraged and, you know, was thinking, boy, this is hard. This may not happen. Maybe I just need to hang in there and see this thing through the end. And then about a year ago, a friend of mine in this business reached out to me. We got talking, and he gave me 8 or 10 other companies that might be a good fit for us. And Gilmore was on that list, and I had not reached out to them before. And so just kind of out of the blue, I reached out to them, and I think I reached out to one of their VPs, or I can't even remember exactly who it was. And so they got back with me pretty quick, and that started a lengthy discussion and process that lasted really about a year. And it would just, I can tell you what, they certainly did their due diligence, and I'm glad that they did and gave us a chance to really know how to present the product and know how to talk with them. And so it went on and on and on for several months. And finally, probably towards the end of last year, 2018, I thought we were probably close enough to be serious, and we were going to be able to have an opportunity to entertain an offer from them. And so it continued on, and then finally early in the year we got real serious and mutually agreed on some things that we would want to happen. And then finally in mid-April, just a couple of months ago, we finally completed the acquisition, and they've kept me and a couple of my workers on through just the end of May, and it's gone through, and they have taken it over. I'm going to kind of stay around for a few weeks to work through the transition, and actually will go with their management team to Bentonville, Arkansas, to meet with the Walmart buyer to kind of make the official handoff there. And that's going to happen in about a week. So I'm just thrilled. They are the perfect fit. They're great people. They have experience and success in the marketplace. And the most exciting thing to me is they love the product, and they think they can do well with it. And they're going to be passionate about it. And they've been very kind and respectful to me, knowing that it was my baby and that they wanted to make sure that the handoff and transition went well, and that I was comfortable that they were the right people to take it on. And we'll certainly add to it and build it even stronger in the future.
Great. They sound like a great partner. And that is so important to find the right partner for your business, because for most inventors, there's kind of two sides to an exit like this. And part of it is the financial gain of selling off your company. And of course, you know, there's a cash payout and of that, which is always great. But the other side of it is seeing what's going to happen next with your product. And the last thing you want to see is, you know, you've got a financial windfall, but then the product ends up dying out a couple of years later. So you want to find a partner that believes in your product, has this passion for it. And really, that's another reason to think about an exit like this. Is it's, you know, oftentimes there's only so far we as inventors, entrepreneurs, and you know, small business, relatively speaking, can take a product without infusing a lot of capital into it. And so a good acquisition partner like this is can have the potential of really growing the brand. So this can be something much bigger even than it ever was. You know, you've had great success with it, but they can make it even bigger. And it's just great to see, even though you may not be connected to it legally or financially in the years to come, at least seeing that, you know, this is your baby, and it's fun to see that it's going to continue growing and being successful as well. I want to ask you, do you have any, I guess, one piece of advice you'd give? So if someone is starting off with a new idea or new product, what's one piece of advice that comes to your mind as they start their journey?
Well, the key word is idea. If you know you have an idea that is not just a me too thing, that it is unique and innovative, and you believe in it and you have passion for it, I would say just, you know, don't be afraid to pursue it. At least seek a lot of counsel and market research to see. I can't tell you how many times, and this probably happens to just thousands of people, that I've had ideas throughout my life and that I knew were good. You know, maybe I might be just driving down the road and an idea or thought about a product or a business opportunity pops in my head. But, you know, something happens, you kind of forget about it and don't pursue it. And then maybe years later, you see that idea turned into something big for someone else. So if you have an idea that's unique and you believe in it and you have passion for it, just be willing to, take a chance and certainly do your homework and see if there's, you know, a market opportunity. But don't let fear and don't let negative feedback stop you, because you're always going to get that. 9 out of 10 people are going to be negative about anything you want to do. But it's something that you really believe in and know there's a need for out there, I'd just say go for it.
Great. And you mentioned doing some market research or testing early on, which, as you know, I'm a big believer in as well. And it's great to get, you can get some early confirmation, because we all, as creative people, right, inventors and entrepreneurs like ourselves, you know, ideas come and it's good to vet them out. And once you prove out, hey, there's something here, it's not just me that is behind this, no matter what, no matter how successful your product or your business is, you're always going to have the naysayers out there. There's people that they're not entrepreneurs, right? So they're going to be just not seeing the same potential that you do. So you can ignore those, but early on, make sure that you've got some potential behind that. And as soon as you find that, as you do some early testing, then you can go full bore behind it and really push it forward. It does take work. You've got to have that passion for it. I've never talked to even the most successful inventors and entrepreneurs out there, and very successful ones like yourself, there's always a struggle. There's always a difficult time in that growth process. So you've got to make sure you've got passion for it as well. So it's not just a good idea, but something that you can see yourself really pushing even through hard times. And as long as you can do that, then you can turn it into a success over time. So what's next for you, Steve?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not in a position where I can totally retire. So I want to keep working, and my wife's already laid down the law and said she didn't want me hanging around the house. I am certainly hoping to continue working. My health is good. My passion's there. I feel like I've still got a lot to do. I'm not sure that I'll go out and start another business like this from scratch, but I'd like to be able to help another small company, you know, as a sales manager, or another company that's got an idea that wants to build it and needs a mentor or some leadership or some advice. I'd love to do that. I've been selling all my life, kind of born to do it, and I love doing that. I'd love to, you know, teach some younger salesmen, you know, some of the tricks of the trade and be able to, you know, bring them along and mentor them. So I'm hoping something will come along. I don't want to really get into a lot of travel or a move from Birmingham. Got too many grandchildren to to play with and watching their sporting events now, but certainly am on the lookout for the right opportunity.
And I can't speak more highly of Steve, or for the listeners that are listening to this. I've known Steve for many years, and I've seen him through this journey, a very hard worker, very intelligent, but amazing experience in taking a product from scratch, you know, like to the point of selling on to Walmart and other big ways, and that's selling off a company as well. So if you're a company or own a company or work at a company that is in need of someone with great sales experience to come help your organization and lead it, I would encourage you highly to reach out to Steve. One way to do that is to find him on LinkedIn. So it's Steve Dean, D-E-A-N. And then the easiest way, there's a few Steve Deans on LinkedIn. So if you type in Steve Dean Espro, E-S-P-R-O, so Steve Dean Espro, you should pop, he'll pop up there. It'll show right under his name, Environmental Sports Products. So it's, you know, connect with him on LinkedIn, shoot him a message and connect with him. And Steve, did you want to share your phone number? I think you mentioned to me earlier.
Sure. My phone number here in Birmingham, area code 205-585-8027.
So again, I encourage anyone out there that has an opportunity and would like, you know, even just getting advice from Steve on a, from a sales perspective, but if there's an open position in your organization, you could not find a better person than Steve. Steve, I really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining our show, and I look forward to watching you continue with your success. Thank you for your valuable insights and for taking the time to share your story. Our audience of inventors, entrepreneurs, and product marketers will benefit greatly from what you've taught us today. For the listeners, go to their website to learn more. Also, be sure to check out harvestgrowthpodcast.com to see other episodes that we have recorded. And if you like this episode and you want to learn more about how you can profitably grow your consumer product business, please subscribe to our show and leave us a review on iTunes or Google Play.